You're listening to By Design on ABC Radio National.
We come now to a striking invention, the collapsible umbrella. Not exactly an Australian invention, but the work of a woman who became an Australian citizen, though not before being interned as an enemy alien. Her name was Slava Horvitz, and she married the artist and sculptor Carl Duldig. The house in which they came to live in Melbourne is now the Duldig Studio, a public gallery and museum and a monument to their lives and work. Carl Duldig's piece Mask from 1921 is the only work by an Australian artist in the National Gallery of Victoria's current exhibition, Vienna Art and Design. The director of the studio is Slava and Carl's daughter, Eva de Jong, and I'm delighted that she's joined us today in our Melbourne studio. Eva, welcome to By Design.
Thank you.
We'll come to the umbrella very soon, but let's look at where Slava and Carl come from. They were both students in the School of Applied Arts in Vienna in 1922. And this was a very significant time in the history of Viennese art and design, wasn't it?
Yes, the Kunstgewerbeschule, as it was called, was the principal place where people actually were working in a modern way in Vienna. And that started around the turn of the century, the end of the 19th century and into the early 20th century. So they were really very fortunate to become students there.
And it was while they were still in Vienna that Slava invented the collapsible umbrella. How did she identify the need for such a thing?
Well, that was in a very ordinary way. She was going to the museum with my father. She hadn't yet married him. And it was a rainy day. She calls it a wet, windy day in May. And she writes about this and she says that she just thought it was stupid that she had to leave her long umbrella in the garderobe, in the cloakroom. And she thought, well, wouldn't it be a good idea to just invent a foldable umbrella?
And she was a very hands-on designer, wasn't she, sourcing umbrella splints for herself?
She sourced the splints and also all the other parts, and she was very cagey. She took each part to a different watchmaker to get it modified so that nobody would know what she was really on about. And she told all these people she was designing a new lampshade.
What did the finished prototype look like?
Well, we have examples of the prototype in the Duldig studio, and at the moment we have a wonderful exhibition that's there called the Duldigs in Vienna, and people can actually see the prototypes which she worked on. And you can see the primitive parts which hadn't yet, of course, been actually done in a factory or anything like that. So you actually see her working models in this exhibition.
And it went into manufacture. Was it successful?
It was successful. It was for a while very much a fashion item and wasn't really used by everybody like it is today.
She gave it a fancy English name, didn't she?
Yes, she called it Flirt.
Yes.
Which is quite amusing.
But it sold well.
It did. She took royalties for nearly 10 years, and I think that helped the family. She was able then to work with a very influential furniture designer, and the flat in Vienna also had beautiful furniture, which was handcrafted and designed partly also by my mother. Her name was Slava Horvitz, and the letter from the designer said, "Hi, well-born Miss Slava Horvitz."
And it was in the Inventors Pavilion at the Vienna Spring Fair in 1931, where it was remarked upon that this was the work, very rare, of a female inventor.
Very rare. And it was called the Magic Umbrella of the Sculptress at that point in time.
That's a lovely thing to call it. Now, she made, as you say, she made quite a lot of money out of it, but then something very sad happened. Tell us about that.
Yes, well, in 1938, I had just been born, and we were forced to leave Austria because Austria was annexed by Nazi Germany, and we were really just very lucky to escape with our lives. And in Switzerland, where we took refuge first, August, my mother received a letter from her manufacturer offering her a sum. It was about 1,000 Reichsmarks at that time, and she really had no choice. She just decided she was going to sell, and she never ever sought compensation or never actually earned another cent from her wonderful invention.
On ABC Radio National, this is By Design, and I'm talking to Ava de Jong, director of Duldig Studio in Melbourne, about her parents, Slava and Carl Duldig. Ava, what happens next is that your parents from Switzerland, they take refuge in Singapore, arriving in May 1939. They seem to have a good time there, but less than a year later, they're deported to Australia by the British as enemy aliens. Now, in the long run, it was probably a good thing to get out of Singapore, but it must have been galling to be treated as an enemy alien when you've been rendered stateless by the Nazis because you were Jewish, and on top of it, you were born in Poland, which was an allied country.
Yes, that was all very, very strange. And my parents fought very hard to try and stay in Singapore. They used all their influence, which at that time they had considerable influence because my father was employed by, among others, the Tiger Bomb King. And that was Auburn Hall. And he wrote to the governing authorities there, but nothing helped. And we were shipped together with 250 other people of similar background to Australia and taken on the Queen Mary, then a converted troop ship. And we ended up in a camp in Tatura in Victoria. And we were really incarcerated there for nearly 2 years.
Once out of the camp, how did the family get on in Australia?
Well, initially my father joined the army. That's how we got out of the camp. And here was this non-Australian refugee in the Australian army, which is altogether strange. But once the war finished, then both my parents were able to teach because their high qualifications out of the Viennese academies enabled them to take up art teaching positions in secondary schools in Melbourne. And that's how they actually sustained their living and were able to make a new start in this country.
One of the nice things that happened to them is that, amazingly it seems to me, Slava was reunited with the furniture that she'd bought on the proceeds of the umbrella, the furniture that you've mentioned. So what kinds of things arrived in the packy cases in Australia?
Well, at first my parents did get back their furniture, and that had been hidden during the war in Paris in the cellars of my aunt's house in the middle of Paris and hidden away from the Nazis, and it was just remarkable that it survived at all. And later on, my parents also received back all their artwork, which had been in the flat in Vienna into which I had been born. So in the Duldig studio, we have an absolutely superb collection of art and drawings and sculpture and archives and documents and furniture and you name it from our original home in Vienna.
As well as being artists, your parents were craftspeople, weren't they? Tell us about their ceramics.
When they started out here, it was very difficult to make a new start, and teaching didn't pay very well. And so they started a cottage industry in handmade pottery, and they sold to the boutiques in Melbourne, Primrose Pottery, among others. And that helped them to actually get a little bit more of a head start and eventually enabled them to buy their own home in Melbourne, which was what the intention was, of course, to become a little bit more independent.
Yes, that must have been a relief, because originally I think the potter's wheel was in the kitchen, wasn't it?
It took up most of the kitchen, and my mother used to wash the dishes in the sink with the clay around it, and we hardly had room to eat on the kitchen table because the pots were always drying everywhere.
Well, for more on the Duldig Studio and on the National Gallery of Victoria's exhibition Vienna, Art and Design, where you can see Carl Duldig's piece Mask, visit our website abc.net.au/rn/bydesign, and the exhibition closes on October the 9th. Ava de Jong, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.